All right. Well, hey, just give me one sec. I gotta get my technology set up. Oh man. Well, how is everybody doing this morning? Huh? How pumped are you that you got to be here this morning? This is a fun Sunday. Well, hey. Well, I realize I didn't say this earlier because I know we see some new faces. If I haven't met you before, my name is Robbie. I'm the youth and family pastor here. In case you're wondering. Man, who is this weird guy that just lets talk and just say weird things in front of people? So I am that guy. Man, we are, like I said, this is just an honor that you get to be here with us this morning. I've been looking forward to this. It's been a great time. So how many parents we got in the room? I'm just out of curiosity. How many? Okay, we got quite a few. How many, how many of you, your kids were like obsessed with Disney movies when they were little? Do you guys have a long list of those? Okay. How many of those? How many still are? Maybe I don't know. So what was I just want to hear? I'm like, what were some of like the Disney classics for your kids? Just what was that? Tarzan. Yeah, that's a good one. What else? I heard Toy Story. Cinderella. The Lion King. This is great. This sounds like youth group, actually. This is awesome. This is fantastic. So we are in the middle of that stage right now. One of the greatest investments we made as parents is we got Disney Plus. The scary thing is now my daughter, she can pick up the Roku remote and can go exactly to Disney. And she'll like sometimes will look at me and like, hey kiddo, I think we're done with movies for now. She'll like kind of look at me and boop, Disney Plus. And then like with the power struggle, that's what we're doing. And so like, I don't know, for those of you that have kids, I don't know if this happened the same way, but when Ellie will go through different phases of like what her favorite movies are. Like for a long time, it was Frozen. And so help me God, if I have to hear Let It Go one more time, right? Like, and she loved it. Like she loved that movie. It warmed her little heart to sing that. She would like have a cape and be like, Let It Go, and would run around the living room. And she got into it. And then we moved out of that stage, and then we moved into Tangled. Yeah, that one, I was like, let's go. I love the music. I love everything about that movie. It was fantastic. And then she moved on from Tangled. And now we are in the Moana stage. And yeah, so everything is Moana. And she has these little stuffed animals, right? And they change. Like she has a Mickey Mouse, and depending on what movies that she's into, Mickey Mouse changes names. So right now, Mickey Mouse is Maui, right? And so we've learned, and I don't know how to take this. There's this big lava monster in Moana called Taka. And whenever Taka comes on the screen, she points to me and goes, Dada, that's you! So take that what you will, I guess. So, yeah, but she's also, there's a song in the movie that she loves. If you've seen the movie, you know what I'm talking about. It's called How Far I'll Go. And it's this moment where she's like out at the ocean, right? And she's kind of has this crossroads moment where, if you haven't seen the movie, that she is the daughter of the chief, right? She's the daughter of the chief of this village called Motunui. I'm trying to pronounce that. And so that's her home village. And the village wants her to be like the next leader. And so she's feeling the pressure to be that. But then her grandma has said that, hey, there is this mission that you were born to do. You are going to rescue the island by restoring this thing called the Heart of Tefiti to return it to her and stop all of this destruction from happening. Are you tracking with me? You just got the synopsis of Moana. You don't have to watch it anymore. It's right there. But she has this moment, right? And this whole song is her kind of saying, like, what do I do? Right? I'm facing these two options, these two different things. I'm torn between being who the village wants me to be and this mission that my grandma wants me to go on to save my village. And so this whole song is she's singing this, and I'm not going to sing it for you. You can go on Spotify. If you won't come back next week if I sing it for you, so don't give me that. And so she sings this, and what I love about it, right, like this morning we're going to she's essentially asking this question, like, what am I supposed to do with my life? Right, man, what is the purpose of my life? What am I supposed to do with my life? And this morning, we're going to look at a question that Jesus gets asked, and part of the underlying question, like, part of it is a test, but I think underneath that is this question of, what am I supposed to do with my life? that he gets asked this question from a religious leader, a religious expert, and he gets asked, like, essentially, hey, what am I supposed to do with my life? And I think that, you know, I think, man, what better Sunday to talk about it than this Sunday, right? Because I think as we're talking about it, we can all probably think of a moment where we asked that question, right? We can all think of a moment where maybe we had our own Moana moment, right? Where we felt like we're at a crossroads. Like, for some of you that are graduating, right, maybe you're experiencing that right now or did at some point recently where you go, what do I do when I graduate? Man, do I go to college? Do I stay here and work? Or do I do something completely different? You know, for those of you that are college grads, right, that maybe you've been asking that, like, man, what do I do when I graduate from college? Man, like, what kind of job do I take? Do I go on a big road trip adventure? Because I may not get one for a while, right? And so maybe this is my chance to travel and do all that. For those of us that are, you know, college is in our rearview mirror, and maybe the question we ran into is, man, do I start a family? Do I settle down? Do I get married? Or maybe like, hey, what job do I like my job, and maybe I want to do a different one, or you know, talking about like retirement. We all have these different crossroads moments where we say, man, what is it that I am supposed to do with my life? And my wife and I really recently went through, and we were in the house search. We were looking for a house, and we were asked this question, like, what are we supposed to do, right? What, like, do we look for a house now? Do we save and wait later? And we're kind of in this, we were in this limbo thing for a while. And so I think we all have those different seasons where we ask that question. And so the question is, what is the answer to that, right? What really matters most? What are we supposed to do? What is it ultimately we're supposed to do with our life? What matters most to God? And so if you got your Bibles with you, Jesus is going to answer this question for us. And this is one of those Sundays. I'm a simple guy, right? If you haven't gotten this, like, I'm a pretty simple dude. Like, if it gets too complicated, I get overwhelmed, and I just kind of space out a little bit. And so I like when things are on like the bottom shelf for me. Like, keep it easy, man. And this is one of those moments where Jesus is kind of telling us, like, man, don't make this too complicated. He's like, and which I'm like, thank you, Jesus. That's awesome, man. I appreciate that. And we have this moment. And if you haven't been with us, kind of up to this point, Mark has been talking about these different interactions that Jesus has been having with these religious leaders and these different conflicts, and they've been asking these tough questions and trying to get them to trip up. And so this is kind of, last week we talked about this interaction that Jesus had with the Sadducees, and they were asking about the afterlife and resurrection, and then Jesus kind of, so then he shuts them down, and then he, next up are this group called the Pharisees, and they were the religious leaders. They were kind of more connected with, they were still powerful, but they kind of associated more with the common people, right? This is the kind of average kind of, in our culture, we say like the blue collar, right? They would kind of associate with them, or they kind of were kind of more attuned with them. And from them, they kind of have this interaction with Jesus. They send an expert of the law, some guy who was an expert at interpreting the law and then giving some application to it. And so he asked Jesus this question. You know, so it says, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together, and one of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So I think, right, in one sense, right, that this is, so you see that word, right, that first section, this guy poses this big question. And he's saying, Jesus, which is the greatest of all these commandments? Right, and in some sense, that could have been a really sticky situation, because there was a debate, right, amongst the religious leaders. They would wrestle with what are the weighty commandments, they would call them, what are the light ones? Like, what are the most important? What are the not so important? And so I think that, you know, because when you look in the book of Mark, it talks about this interaction and the way that Jesus kind of, you know, that Jesus tells them, hey, you're not far from the kingdom of heaven. And so I think that there's part of it where this guy is asking him a question that he knows is difficult, right? He's asking a question that he's hoping that Jesus might say something that might get him in trouble. He might he might say something about a commandment being more than something else and trying to get him to get in trouble with other religious leaders. But I think there's also a part of him, right, based on how Jesus responded to him in the book of Mark, but this guy's asking a legitimate question. Right? I think there's a part where this guy is saying, well, Jesus, like, what is most important? Like, what is it that we all should do? And I love Jesus' answer, where he just says, man, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. And the thing is, like, this wasn't like, you know, unlike some of the other confrontations that Jesus had, this wasn't an answer that would have, like, thrown them for a loop. Right? Because if you think about it, that love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, that was something part of they called the Shema. And in Deuteronomy 6:5, it outlines it. And that's something that if you're a good, devout Jew, you would recite that every day. Like, so they would be familiar with that. And love your neighbor as yourself was a commandment given in Leviticus. It says, love your neighbor as yourself. And so Jesus gives these two that wouldn't have been a shocker to hear. But what he says is like, man, when you look at these two, they give the essence, they give the heart of what all of the law and the prophets were telling us, right? Everything that God commanded, it can be, you know, that these two give the essence of love, like love God and love others. And that the idea of love, right, a lot of times we hear love and we think of that emotional attachment. We think of, you know, getting the warm fuzzies about something. And I think that Jesus, when he talks about love, he's not talking about just, just have good, sweet feelings about something. But I think when he talks about love God, he's talking about this idea of, like, man, do we live our life to honor and please God? And do we live our life to think about the needs of others? Do we live our life, when we talk about caring for others, do we see the needs of others around us and say, man, I want to help with that? Right? And I love he says, love your neighbor as yourself. Because I think what he's showing us, like, man, when we have needs, we don't think twice about meeting it, right? Like, if you're hungry, you don't go like, oh, wait, I should eat a sandwich. You're like, it's like, oh, cool, I'm hungry, I'm going to go eat something. Or I'm thirsty, I'm going to go drink something. I'm going to go drink water. I'm going to go do, you know, like, oh, man, you know, hey, I'm tired, I'm just going to go to bed. And he says, in the same way that we know our needs and we meet them, he says, man, we should be aware of the needs of our neighbors. And we should seek to meet them. And so this morning, right, if I were to kind of summarize what this is all about, if I were to summarize kind of what Jesus is talking about, right, and we're saying, like, this is not meant to be, this is, like, I love this verse because it is simple in that it's not overly complicated. But it's extremely difficult, right? That's something, man, there's a lot of, like, we are selfish people. And so it's not really that easy. Like, it takes intentional effort to do this. But Jesus says that, you know, if you want to know what life is all about, you want to know what you should do with your life, it's this. It's to love him and to love others. Right, and so regardless of where we're at in this room, like, whether you are a high school graduate, you are a college graduate, whether you are moving up in a youth group, or man, maybe you're retiring, you have grandkids, whatever age we're at, Jesus tells us, man, what I want and desire most for you is to live a life where you seek to honor and please God, and you seek to love other people as yourself. He says, man, if you do that, man, you lived a good life. If you did that, you lived life well. And I think that's the challenge each of us have this morning. All right, and the two questions I want to leave you, and, you know, this morning is Grad Sunday, so grads, I'm kind of talking to you guys, but I want to include everyone else in this as well, is how can I honor and please God with my life? And then how can I use my life to do good, kind things for others? So guys, whatever, you know, some of you are going off into college, some of you are going to be going right into the workforce. And what I would say is, man, there's a lot, you will hear a lot of different messaging of what's going to matter most in your life. You're going to hear a lot of different things like, man, if you want your life to be significant, you need to do this. You need to be successful. You need to make lots of money. And what I would say is, those are all good things. But what I would say is, man, make sure that the main purpose is loving God and seeking to love others. And if you do that, man, doesn't matter where you go, that, man, you're living a good life. And so I would challenge all of us with that. All right, man, like, don't buy in the lie that we have to do other things to be successful. Don't buy in the lie that you have to do other things to feel like, to feel significant. God says, man, if you do this, it's all good. And so here in a moment, we're going to have a chance to kind of reflect on this and think about the goodness of God, and that he, in a sense, frees us to let this be the way we live our life. Right? Because of what Jesus did for us on the cross, we get to live in a way where we say, God, I can't do this on my own, but thank you, because of Jesus, I can live, that my life can be all about loving God, loving other people. And so here in a second, I'm going to invite our servers to come on up and get ready to distribute communion. If you haven't been with us before in doing this, how it's going to work is I'm going to pray. And then after I'm done praying, as you feel led, you're going to come down the center aisle and you're going to kind of go out to these two tables. Our servers will give you the elements. You'll go back to your chairs and then we'll take it together. So if you're serving, I want to invite you to come on up and kind of prepare for communion. And while they're doing that, let me go ahead and pray for us this morning. God, we're just so thankful, Lord. Thankful for you. Thankful for the way that you love us, that you care about us. God, thank you that, Lord, that you really outlined for us what does it really mean to live a good life. And Lord, we pray for our college graduates. Lord, we pray for our high school graduates. Lord, we pray for our incoming middle schoolers. Lord, as they move into this next chapter of their life, that, Lord, they don't buy into the lie that they have to do other things to be successful. They don't have to do other things to be significant. Lord, you see them, you love them. And God, what you invite them into is a life of just of honoring and pleasing you and loving other people. And Lord, I pray for all of us, God, that that can be the life that we grasp onto. That can be the life that we seek to live, whatever stage of life we're in. God, we're thankful for you. We're thankful that you invite us into this. So God, we love you. And Lord, as we take up this time of communion together, Lord, help us just to celebrate you, Lord. Celebrate what you've done for us. Lord, we love you. Amen.